Welcome to Emil Franzi's Voices of the West, dedicated to the principle that America was better off when our TV shows featured cowboys instead of lawyers.
You betcha.
Run all the lawyers out of town. They're all a bunch of hypocrites.
It's a Saturday afternoon, and welcome to Emil Franzi's Voices of the West live stream for you on this Saturday afternoon. We're at the Eastside Ranch today, and hey, I call it
it's Harry Spread.
Well, you know, yeah, it's Harry Spread. So
otherwise known as the Bourbon Living Room.
Well, yeah. No, but the Rum Living Room.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
You know,
it's the pirate ranch.
Yesterday was International Talk Like a Pirate Day.
Arr.
And so I was at the grocery store yesterday, and I'm wearing a shirt with a pirate.
Like the one you're wearing now.
Well, this is the shirt, pirate emblem.
You just passed out in it last night when you woke up. Well, and stood there bothered. Yeah,
you know, you're not supposed to tell those stories.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And so this little guy walks past with his mom, and he's dressed to the nines in pirate regalia. And
ooh, cool.
I go by him and I say, "Ah, sir, you make a fine pirate, you do." Mom laughed and he was all giddy about it.
Oh, he pumped up. Well,
it was so much fun.
Yeah.
Anywho,
we need more children pirates.
I know. They're always fun. It is
Start them young.
That's the way to do it. It's the 20th day of September.
Yep.
And day two of my military career from 1971.
Is that when you went in?
I was drafted, and I reported September 19, 1971. And
you know, that's weird. I'm trying to think, because when I was inducted in the Navy, it was about this time of year in August,
mm-hmm.
but not in September.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's September 19, and then I was ready to get out. The missus came up pregnant, and so I re-upped. I was ready to get out.
Oh, my God. How could that happen?
I was ready to get out again, and she came up pregnant again, and it's like, oh, okay. So I spent...
You guys needed a TV.
Well,
you needed a TV and probably less rum.
We got that stuff fixed right after the birth of our son.
Snip, snip.
Yeah, who, by the way, was born at the Fort Huachuca Hospital about 2 weeks after Colonel Tim McCoy passed away there.
Oh, we should have named
him. I know. But anyway, I digress. nine years in the military, and happy I did
it. Thank you for your service, sir.
Thank you. And
thank you for your service. And Bunker, thank you for your service.
Now, the Navy doesn't want to acknowledge
I sometimes wish I had stayed, but hey, that's water over the bridge.
You know, I thought about that. If I'd have stayed in the Navy, I could have got that pension, and I went to work for Amtrak for a while. Mm-hmm. I could have worked for them.
Got that pension.
Only takes 10 years
on
the railroad.
I know.
So I could have had, at 40, I could have had two pensions, mm-hmm. worked another 20 years and got Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I'd been in tall cotton.
Instead, you went into the movies.
I went into the movies, and I was in tall horse shit.
Well, you know, and by the way, folks, there is a promo. If you watch the Pluto streaming service and you watch Gunsmoke, Perry Mason, or any of the channels there, they will run a promo for Gunsmoke. And it is talking about how Gunsmoke began in the land of black and white. And then they move to color, and they show a scene where it's our friend Bunker de France riding up. And they don't show his dismount.
They don't show my Joel McRae
dismount. It was the episode Matt's Love. And so I see that every now and then. And
I was sitting here when I first got here. They played it. Yeah.
Yeah, so.
I want to salute every time I see you.
Anyway. Here we go. What do we have going today? Oh, you got some stuff.
I got some stuff.
We're going to talk about corruption in the Old West. And believe me, if you think there's corruption today, you ain't read enough.
Actually, I think it just continued on.
I'm thinking so. But beforehand, we got whatever it is that you've got there.
We got from Bunker's Bunkhouse, coming at you is the good, the bad, and the bovine. And I'm going to condense it down today because I want to get to the Santa Fe River.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're going to start with September 16. Mr. Robert Redford passed away.
Somebody, that's your theme there.
89 years old.
89.
Is that my theme music?
That's your theme music as we go back in time and come forward in time. Machine.
You know, you have a future sound thing?
Yeah, you're right there. You just heard it.
Okay, anyhow, he passed away. Did a bunch of, I mean, I think, some very good Westerns. He also directed.
Fabulous Westerns.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. He kind of, before, well, he didn't set the standard for mountain men Westerns, but with Jeremiah Johnson, any mountain men Western after that, they use that kind of as a reference point.
Well, we definitely need to give credit to John Milius, who wrote it,
yes,
and Sidney Pollack, who directed it.
Milius was a wild man. When they were shooting,
yes,
Roy Bean, every morning before we'd start production, him and Houston would go out and shooting critters. And I don't know how many times we'd be sitting there waiting to start. Crew would all be set up. They'd have a shot set up, and I'd just be waiting for. In fact, Ava Gardner had to wait on them.
Oh, well.
John Houston and Milius, what a pair.
All right.
Okay, now the 17th of September was Constitution and Citizen Day.
That's correct.
I have no idea what Constitution and Citizen Day is, other than it's recognized.
Constitution Day is the day that the Constitution was ratified.
Oh, okay. Well, what's Citizen Day?
Thrown in there for whatever.
That's when we, as Americans, went from being subjects to this this fella, Georgie of England, to becoming citizens. We became citizens
of the Republic.
Yeah, that's funny.
Of the Republic. And by the way, let's just be real clear. Citizens do not need permission to own guns.
There you go.
Yeah, in fact, we were obligated to have them.
That's right.
A militia.
That's right. Subjects have to ask for permission.
That's right. Come and take my 9 if you dare.
Yeah. Well, okay, now moving on to the 19th of September in 1950. Rudy Ramos, our good store of... What the heck was...
He did a show about Geronimo.
Well, he did a great live
stuff,
show,
yeah.
But he was
Wind on High Chaparral.
I'm sorry, I couldn't come at the Wind. He was Wind on the last year of Chaparral.
Yeah. He's also going to be a guest at the movie festival coming up with Rock Whitehead.
Oh, yeah, that's
his group.
Yeah. I got to get out there. I went last year, but the directions were all wrong. I went to 3 different theaters. And finally gave up. Nobody knew where it was.
You went to the drive-in afterwards.
Yeah. And then, of course, now we're going to move to the 20th. But this goes way back to 1897. And Mr. Kermit Maynard was come into the world.
Uh-huh.
And I just got to say, I prefer Kermit over Ken.
I do, too. I think he's a better actor, a better horseman, better stuntman.
But, the Navajo Kid with Bob Steele.
Yeah, there you go. Now, and this is another one, also on the 20th, was American Indian Day, and it had behind it TN, I'm thinking Tennessee. So maybe Tennessee has their own special American Indian Day, but I had no idea what that meant. Anything that honors the American Indian, I stand for.
You find reservations in the most unusual places. I remember when I lived in Key West, Florida.
You don't find them in Texas.
Well, when I lived in Key West, Florida, there was
Seminole.
There was a reservation, and it consisted of the house on the corner.
Yeah,
that was the reservation. Whatever, however big that plot was, that was the reservation.
Well, there were several because there was this. I love the Seminole because they never surrendered.
That's right.
I think there's a Cree reservation up in the Panhandle, or was.
Mm-hmm.
And, thanks to Mr. General Johnson, he moved all the Indians out illegally.
Yeah, of course.
They should have fought all to the last man.
Yeah, who knows where we'd be today. But
anyway. I'm going to finish up with the 20th, and that's Rosh Hashanah, and it starts at sunset. And that's today.
Hey,
should I tell my father's story about going to temple?
Sure,
go for it.
So whenever the holidays would come, we were born and raised. My father was born and raised Jewish in Brooklyn, New York, Reformed Jewish, which is the most relaxed or liberal form of Judaism. Mm-hmm. We were very much that way, too. My mother converted to Judaism and married my dad. He could care less. She did it to please his family.
Uh-huh.
So the holidays would come, and it wouldn't just be Rosh Hashanah. It could be Yom Kippur. Or it could be anything. And she'd say, okay, come home tonight. Come home early. Don't, you know, because my dad always worked late. He didn't, rarely did he eat dinner with us. So, come home early because we're going to temple. And he'd say, why? And she'd say, well, it's Rosh Hashanah. It's Yom Kippur. It's Passover. It's Hanukkah. Oh.
Used to hold the booths.
And she'd say, and he'd say, well, what are we doing? She said, we're going to temple. And say, which temple? And she'd say, the temple we belong to. You know the temple we belong to? That temple? He'd say, where is that temple? And she'd say, you know perfectly where it is. It's over here on the Sunset Boulevard University Synagogue. Oh, no. I don't want to go.
Oh,
and she'd say, what is wrong with you? Why don't you want to go? She said, oh, there's too many Jews there.
Yeah, you know,
this is my father.
Tree.
This is my father.
You know,
my dad. But I'll tell you, he had a lot of pride in his Jewish heritage.
I'm sure.
But he loved to give her a lot, put her through the ringer.
You know, I'd never had the opportunity to meet your dad, and I never had the opportunity to meet your mom. But I did hear your mom on a phone conversation with you, and I can just imagine those two going at it over that topic or any other topic that came about.
when Christmas came, she turned the whole house into Santa's Village. And by the way, Christmas was my father's favorite holiday.
Of course, yeah.
Flat out. He loved Christmas.
All right.
So she would decorate the house. It was just ridiculous. It was like worse than Disneyland at Christmas.
There's the three musty rears up on the screen.
Yeah.
She'd be decorating the tree, and it was a very involved process, and she had her rules, and you had to do it her way, and
right.
all the ornaments were all old and very delicate.
Yeah, it's like my mom, same way.
And my dad would say, he'd say to one of us, he'd say, okay, I want you to go out the back door, go around to the front door, and ring the doorbell. And when you ring the doorbell, I'm going to come and answer the door. And don't say anything. I'm going to talk. Don't talk. Don't say anything.
Oh,
so, you know, he would do this to one of my siblings, and inevitably one of them would look at him and go, why do you want me to go outside? Why can't I talk? He'd say, okay, you know what? You just sit here. Here. He'd look over at a different one of us and go, okay, come here.
You
go outside. And so you'd go outside, you'd ring the doorbell, he'd come to the door, and as soon as the doorbell would ring, he'd go, oh my, I wonder who it is. So he'd go to the door, and he'd open the door, I'll go check. And he'd go to the front door, and he'd open the door, and he'd go, oh my goodness, Rabbi, how are you? So good to see you. Please come in. Please. Lynn's in the living room. And he'd walk in and he'd, oh, she's right here. No trouble. It's not a burden. Don't worry. Come on in. And she'd walk in and you'd find my mother up on the ladder, frozen. Like the greyhound on a Pierce on a Pierce arrow.
He set her up.
As if to say, if I don't move, maybe he won't
see me.
He won't see me.
Oh, golly.
Oh, God. Yeah.
All right.
That was my dad. That was my dad.
And, man, I wish I had the chance to meet him.
Just want to throw in here. It's like my mom at Christmas. She wouldn't let anybody decorate the tree but her.
Mm. Right.
And she put more of that
tinsel crap.
No, not the tinsel. The spin glass, you know.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It would cover the tree, you know. It was my job on Christmas Day, you can take all the packages and deliver them.
Sure. Right? Yeah.
So, you know, I've spent half the day scratching my arm.
Yeah, because of the glass, yeah. Hey, I'm looking here, Todd, at a image from the, what am I looking at here? The Arizona Citizen from November 30 of 1877.
That's after Thanksgiving.
It is after Thanksgiving, and I'm looking. What caught me here was an article, and it's it passed this on to your lovely Nola. They're announcing the death of Kit Carson. Celebrated pioneer and explorer Christopher Carson at Taos, New Mexico, where he had been residing as the Indian agent. And so, and the reason
great
I
man who the culture, counterculture, or whatever.
And the, I don't
they're
even
trying to just do. You know.
I was researching something else and came across this article and thought, I will save this and pass this on to Todd so
please,
he can pass it on
please,
to his honey.
Please, please do. Please, yeah, I would love to show her that. She would love seeing it. And she, you know. She always relishes the fact that her dad's name was Kit Carson.
Yeah. Well, I'll try and figure out a way to save this and then email it to you.
Well, I'll be seeing you in 2 weeks.
Well, there you go.
Or a week.
Oh,
you can
just look it up for yourself.
Or,
the liquor's going to be flowing, Eric. The liquor's going to be flowing.
I'm afraid of that.
You better put it in the plastic sleeve.
And a catheter to boot.
Oh, my God. We have really degenerated.
We've degenerated, and, you know, we've degenerated to the point where we got to do that first commercial.
My goodness, where'd you put the gloves?
I know. That first commercial break, and then we're going to come back and talk.
I don't know if we have any listeners left.
Yeah, hopefully we do. Then we'll talk about that corruption in the Old West. So in the meantime, stay tuned, folks. It is Emil Franzi's Voices of the West, Harry Alexander, Bunker to France, and Todd Roberts with you. And we'll be right back.
Arizona, the land of cattle, copper, and cowboys. It's also the true West, where a large number of Westerns were built. For your next vacation, come out to where Wyatt Earp made a name for himself as a highly respected sheriff. Stay where Jimmy Stewart filmed Winchester 73.
That would be the White Stallion Ranch. Situated in the mountains just northwest of Tucson, the White Stallion Ranch is an award-winning dude ranch with 43 guest rooms and the Hacienda. That's a five-bedroom, three-bathroom home, perfect for larger families, family reunions, and girlfriend getaways. Every guest room has a private patio with views of the cactus gardens, mountains, or corrals. Generous floor plans offer sunny, comfortable rooms, but you won't want to stay in your room. Outdoor activities are plentiful at the White Stallion Ranch. Horseback riding, hiking, shooting, archery, rock climbing, e-biking, and a weekly ranch rodeo are among the numerous activities that you'll enjoy on your ranch vacation. Go Western for your next getaway. The White Stallion Ranch. Book your vacation now online at whitestallionranch.com or call 520-297-0252.
This is Eb Wilkinson at Wilkinson Wealth Management. If you're within 10 to 15 years of retirement and you're putting off retirement planning, my advice to you is don't do that. Ignoring your retirement planning won't make it go away. It'll just make it worse. Give me a call and let's work on your plan together so you can retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
The Tucson Trap and Ski Club is one of the best-kept economic secrets in town. This 900-member group maintains one of the finest shotgun shooting ranges in the country, featuring trap, skeet, five-stand, and sporting clays fields, and hosts national and international events that bring thousands of people and millions of dollars into our community. The Spring Satellite Grand American Tournament alone involves 1,200 participants for 10 days. Learn more about this and their other contributions to our community at TucsonTrapAndSkeet.com.
Boss, I wouldn't be so awful careless about this shooting and cattle rustling.
Was I you?
You don't like it, eh?
Well, I was only thinking.
I'll do all the thinking. You and the rest do as you're told, and we'll get somewhere.
Where?
You got a six-gun where your brains ought to be.
This is the Voices of the West.
Now Dan was born at an early age in good old New York town. He learned to ride the wildest bronco of them all on the merry-go-round.
Six-Gun Dan was an old cowhand.
We're back on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker to France, Todd Roberts in the Los Angeles area. And some six-gun Dan there,
yeah,
from the Texas Rangers.
Yeah,
and all right, our topic is corruption in the Old West. And I just got to reiterate, if you think there is a bunch of crap going on now, you ain't done your history reading.
Actually, if you think about it, if you really dig into Manifest Destiny,
mm-hmm.
it was manifest exploitation.
Yeah, for sure. The Old West was as corrupt, if not more corrupt, than it is than the government is now. And we're going to start off with the Santa Fe Ring.
Well, you know,
go ahead.
When I started looking this up, and I looked up corruption in the Old West, and the first thing it gave me, of course, being Google, it gave me current. But it said that Arizona was the most corrupt state in America today.
Well, I know that back in the 1880s, they had the most corrupt election, 1884 or 6, something like that, for, and I don't remember what the election was for, but it was really nasty stuff.
Well,
all right,
okay.
Santa Fe Ring, let's start with them.
Okay, then I'll skip over the Lincoln County stuff here.
No, that's all part of it, but Santa Fe Ring.
Let me do this then.
All right.
Historically, the first known mafia in North America was in 1860. That was in the Midwest era.
Hmm.
You know, so I mean, to me, that's saying something like Illinois,
Chicago.
Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. But this is what I thought was interesting. This is a response to people that don't like referring to these outlaw gangs, that Western mafia. This is a response to that. There are those who don't like the idea of the West being sullied by equating its outlaw history with the urban gangsterism of the mob. And I thought, you know, that is ridiculous.
Yeah, it is.
But yeah, you know, but that's what happens. We it's our human nature. We get so, we did the Billy the Kid Tin type,
mm-hmm.
and immediately you got people that are taking sides and ready to fight.
I know.
Instead of just going and saying, let's let it play out.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyhow, that's so much for that.
Yeah.
Well,
what you got something to say?
I think your point is well taken, Bunker, because, you know, let's remember, you know, talking about the issue of people taking sides and how much they have invested into a certain issue or a certain story or whatever it may be. You know, the Autry Museum has spent $300,000 on a Smith & Wesson 44, which they attribute to Wyatt Earp. Mm-hmm. And it's not Wyatt Earp's. So please send letters so I can shred them, complaining. First of all, it's not Wyatt Earp's gun. Stop walking around saying it's Wyatt Earp's gun. Oh, let's go to the archery and see Wyatt Earp's gun. That's not Wyatt Earp's gun. There is a gun there, Ed, that is Wyatt Earp's. It's a 7-inch, 45 long Colt, Colt that he referred to as his baby pony,
mm-hmm.
number one. Number two, it is an Earp gun, but it's a display piece. It's a birthday piece. It was given to Virgil by his wife as a gift. But anybody who knows the Earps knows that they like the buffalo people, which is you pull your pistol out and you hit them on the top of their forehead, where it starts to curve down with the bottom of your Colt. And they sink like a sack of potatoes.
They were notorious thumpers.
You do not waste ammunition that way.
Well, and you also have to write a report when you shoot somebody. If you thump them, you don't have to write a report.
And you know how much a slug costs?
Oh, I don't know.
Too much. Yeah. Too much. So, you know, the Autry is very much invested in this, and they are going to hold on to it like a dog with a bone.
Yeah, they'll milk it for all it's worth.
Yeah, just like people with the Billy the Kid photo.
Sure.
Or any other issues that are out there that people attach themselves to.
When I was a kid, you could go into any, and you did back then, you could go into any bar, tavern, beer joint, any place in bootleggers, and they all had a Billy the Kid gun behind the bar. Yeah. I mean, he had more guns than the army.
Than Carter had pills.
Well, Carter's pills. Yeah, okay.
And Carter had peanuts.
All right, let's get back to the Santa Fe Ring. This was formed in the New Mexico Territory, and it was amazingly enough, couple of politicians were in charge of this thing, including future Senator and Secretary of War Stephen Benton Elkins and future Senator Thomas B. Cochran. And
you have a county named after him.
Yeah, and they figured the ring figured prominently into various range wars and feuds, like the Pecos War, Lincoln County War, and the Colfax County War. And, the big issue was up in Santa Fe, they didn't like that Albuquerque was getting a lot of stuff. And so they decided, hey, that dog ain't going to hunt, and so we're going to make sure it don't.
This is how basically what made up the Santa Fe Ring. It was a powerful, informal coalition of politicians, attorneys, land speculators, businessmen that dominated New Mexico territory from 1865 to 1912 to statehood.
Yeah, you're right, and
that's when the political nature of the state changed.
It had to if they wanted to become a state.
Okay, here we go too. The ring was comprised of newly arriving Anglo-Americans and opportunist Hispanic families that were longtime resident and prominent families.
Mm-hmm.
And they using corrupt I can't talk anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Using corrupt politics to gain control of the land and wealth by exploiting Hispanic and Native Americans. They manipulated the legal system, engaged in unethical land and business deals.
And what was wrong with all of that?
Well, outside of exploiting the people that already owned the land.
Yeah, I know.
It's
a rhetorical question.
Nothing wrong with biting your pockets.
Rhetorical question. But yeah, it was.
Well, it goes against all of the true spirit of the West.
Exactly.
Which is that if a man and a woman could carve something out and make it their own and toil and work hard, they could have something.
Yeah.
And then you have somebody, some interloper, come along and usurp people of their land, their power, their possessions, their rights, and everything else.
You know, that's also a common theme in Westerns of the B-movie era and in some Westerns of the modern era.
That was the backbone of it.
Yeah.
The good guy came in and cleaned up the corruption.
Cleaned it up, yeah. Or tried to.
That's right.
There was always somebody with a land. Well, you know, you look at the Autrys in the 40s, where they were fairly contemporary, and the things that he was doing, that was stuff coming out of the headlines of the day.
Yeah.
Of land grabs,
sure.
Of water wars,
yep,
and all that stuff.
Yep.
All of it. But, you know, of course, we know the film Joe Kidd, which Clint Eastwood and John Saxon and Robert Duvall, that's a perfect example of the Anglo mafia taking land and rights from people who were, in this case, were Latin descent, but it happened in with many others. It happened in Texas with the original Anglos who had been there for a while, and you had these German settlers come in, they were working hard and they were making good on what they were doing.
The
and
best of Texas. The
hoodoo voodoo war started. And Curly Bill Brocious and Johnny Ringo were two of the lead gunmen in that. So, I mean, it's not the first time it's happened. It won't be the last. It happened again in the 80s after the Vietnamese who migrated to this country after the Vietnam War started shrimpers down in Galveston. They made a movie about it with Ed Harris. That's just another example of this same story.
Yep. Well, you know, the thing is, the goals of the Anglos was to gain wealth, political power, and control of land, cattle, and the railroads.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And the methods that they used was corrupt acts, manipulating legal processes, and contracts to get land, often by disseminating long-time residences. You know.
Well, they would buy land, the ring would buy land that they didn't have title to, and then they would
land grants.
And then they would turn around and sell it again to somebody else. And then when the questions came out about it, it was like, oh, we don't know anything about that.
Well, you know, it came about, you know, because the political influence portion of it was that these guys, Catron and the other guy, they came out and they infiltrated the Republican Party, because the Republican Party was the dominant party in the state at the time. Mm-hmm. And over time, they got their own people in there and replaced everybody, and they started shaping legislation to their goals.
Just like today. Isn't that amazing?
Nothing's changed. Greed is timeless and universal.
Oh, yeah.
Different day, that's okay.
You know,
you can go all the way
Louis
back.
L'Amour wrote a book about it called The Lonesome Gods. It takes place in Los Angeles. Where, you know, you see the complexion of the demographic of the citizenry of Los Angeles changing from Latin, mm-hmm. the power shift away from the Latin mm-hmm. Demographic over to the Anglo demographic. And the Latins, who were basically Mexican Americans, referred to them as Bostons.
Yeah.
Because so many had come from Boston.
Well,
Boston lawyers.
And the rings, the corrupt rings, are often likened to Tammany Hall, which many people, I believe, are familiar with.
If you
bothered to stay in history.
You know, it's funny. I look at Tammany Hall, and I think that's a two-edged sword.
Yeah.
Because they did a lot of good for a lot of people, but they also did a lot of bad to a lot of people.
It was patronage.
At its finest.
Well, let's remember what Joe Kennedy said.
That's a good example.
He said, you've got to give people you have to give them access to services.
Yeah.
You have to give them parks, and you have to give them access to the beach. And you have to give them access to transportation. So you have, you know, the trolley car or the horse-drawn carriage, you know, the horse-drawn trolleys prior to that. And then the electrical cars and the trains and the buses. You have to give them these things so that they feel they have some power.
Right.
And while they're experiencing that, while they're that's right.
Yep.
Because you got them, you've got their attention diverted.
There
it's
you
like
go.
The Tucson bus system.
Hey, it's like any political system in this country today.
Have you come to Los Angeles lately?
Yeah, right. Perfect example.
You have free buses in Los Angeles?
No, they don't have free buses.
No, we don't have free buses. Yeah. The state of California has spent $24 billion last year on homelessness, and it has quintupled.
Hey.
And the mayor of Los Angeles walks around telling everybody what a great job she's doing, and Governor Newsom talks about what a great job he's doing.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, that's votes.
There you go. That's votes. And on that note, we're going to take our next commercial break. Here on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West, we're talking Wild West corruption on the program, and we'll be right back after this.
Can you even imagine switching back to pen and paper to run your business? Every year, we become more and more dependent upon our technology. If your network is not set up properly, you're just one click or one email away from losing data critical to your operation. Arizona Computer Guru offers a host of services to prevent and protect you from disaster. From online backup services to email filtering to fully managed network services, Arizona Computer Guru is here to keep your network secure, your data safe, and your budget in the black. To schedule your free consultation, call 304-8300.
This is Eb Wilkinson at Wilkinson Wealth Management. If you're within 10 to 15 years of retirement and you're putting off retirement planning, my advice to you is don't do that. Ignoring your retirement planning won't make it go away. It'll just make it worse. Give me a call and let's work on your plan together so you can retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
The Tucson Trap and Ski Club dates from 1948 and is now at 7800 West Ole Ajo Highway. The club owns 80 acres and leases 300 more from Pima County that supports 50 trap fields, 15 skeet fields, 2 5-stand fields, 2 sporting plays courses with 12 stations each, a 9,000-square-foot clubhouse, 200 full-service RV hookups for members, and free Wi-Fi. This expansive facility gives enough room to host major national and international events annually, bringing thousands of people to the community. Check it out at TucsonTrapAndSki.com.
Look, you hung around long enough. Now it's time for you to move on.
That just happens to be your opinion.
I'm backing up my opinion. Now make tracks or eat smoke. If I see you around here tomorrow, start shooting.
This is the Voices of the West.
Back on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West, Harry Alexander, Bunker to France, Todd Roberts in the Los Angeles area. We are talking corruption in the Old West. And my golly, there was a bunch of it.
A handful.
Well, not a handful. There was just a plumb bunch of it.
Well, you know, here's some more stuff. You know, that the ring exploited the loopholes in American legal system, manipulated the Spanish and Mexican land grants, which included communal land. And one of the things is that the Hispanic in New Mexico, their concept of land law was from the land laws of Spain and Mexico and not the American.
Yeah, there was no
That's
definite
right.
legal, like point A goes to 24 point decimal yeah. or decimal 32 or whatever.
It was pretty clear cut as opposed to American law, which is full of loopholes mm-hmm. and traps and anything that
well,
can exploit the system.
So there is, and that's all true, 100% true. But there is, you know, let's lay the blame where all feet desire it to be, which is the Spanish Californio. And this goes through all the different areas that they existed in. They had a certain lifestyle. Think of Tyrone Power and his father in Zorro.
Oh, yeah.
Captain from Castile.
Yeah, they were elites.
They lived a certain type of lifestyle. And once that was set up, their mistake was in the bad years of drought or fire or the crops weren't going or cattle or whatever it was, they didn't say, ooh, we're going to be short this year. Let's cut back our lifestyle. They didn't
do that. No, no.
So what they would do, instead of cutting back their lifestyle, they would, the padre or, you know, patron of the ranch, the head dude, would say, let's just sell off a little slice of land. Mm-hmm. And over time, that kept happening and happening, and eventually they wound up with very little.
Yep.
Because it was a combination of what Bunker's talking about and the combination of that.
Life
it's unfortunate.
Of rich and famous.
But, yeah. And you need to know how to say no. And Louis L'Amour's book talks a lot about that, Lonesome Gods.
Yeah. All right, we're going to open up the phone line
because
I know we have some listeners to the live stream. And if you'd like to comment on this, ask a question or whatever, here's the phone number, 520-487-1877. 520-487-1877. And I'll be happy to put you on the air here with your question or comment. Or
you know, I just want to point out, folks, this show is done for you.
Well, yeah.
And we want your participation.
Always.
And also, this is the thing I suggest. If you look and you know what the topic is for the week coming up, look it up.
Yeah.
And that way, because you have some familiarity and you're more comfortable when you call in.
There you go. So anyway,
we're waiting for a call, mm-hmm. let me just comment on one thing that Bunker had said, that the first mafia was in 1860 in the West, in the Midwest. The first Italian mafia was in the rose to power in the 1850s in New Orleans. And that evidence of that is the Italian restaurant in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, which is named Pascal Manali's. And it's been there since the 1830s.
Great gumbo.
Yes. Well, they also have fabulous Italian dishes as well. But there was there were four boys that, or young men, should I say, that were involved in a robbery. A man, the guy who was robbed, was stabbed and he died. They found them, and there was basically a government approved lynching. They put him through a court trial, but they didn't have any proof that it was them. But they had to have the public wanted blood, and they got it.
Yeah.
It moved from New Orleans eventually up to New York. You know, these are, I'm not talking about, this isn't John Gotti, Joe Bonanno.
No.
This is the original Mustache Pete's.
Yeah.
Otherwise known as the Black Hand.
The Black Hand, which was extortion. That's what said their main.
That's right.
Their main tip.
Yeah.
Protection.
Okay, let's talk about one of the specific wars of the Lincoln County War. The Pecos War, the Pecos War of the... Or the Pecos War, or the War of the Pecos, and or the Chisholm War over stock grazing. The parties involved in it was the Jingle Bob Ranch, led by John Chisholm and James Hisaw, versus the Seven River Warriors, which was outlaws, led by Henry Q. Beckwith, and it was backed by the Ring. Also involved was Frank Godfrey, who was the Mescalero Indian agent, because he was buying stolen beef by the Seven River Rings from Chisholm
and selling it up to the or giving it to the Native Americans.
Yeah. Okay, this is going back now. The Rings' origins go back to the 1850s. They cemented their power after the Civil War, taking advantage of new political structure after the U.S. interior of New Mexico in the Mexican-American War.
Right, yeah. We got that all that stuff through the, Guadalupe Hidalgo
Treaty. Meeting of Guadalupe Hidalgo.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what do we got here? Okay, here's a kind of a list of some of the opponents of the Ring, people that were fighting back. There was John Henry Tunstall, who was a wealthy English rancher and started a rival mercantile in Lincoln to challenge the Ring, monopoly. He was murdered in 1875. And the funny thing is, they met the challenge. The Ring met, the Murphy Doolin gang, met the challenge with violence.
Imagine.
Alexander McSween and Tunstall, he was Tunstall's business partner, lawyer. He was killed in 1878. John Chisholm, cattleman, backed the Tunstall McSween financially. He put them in business there in Lincoln. A young fellow named William Bonney, or Kid Antrim, or whatever. He was
El Chavito.
And then there was Albert Jennings Fountain, lawyer and territory legislator, fierce opponent of the Ring. He and his young son mysteriously disappeared. It's an unsolved case to this day.
Imagine.
LeBaron Branford Prince, initially allied with the Ring, he was a good lawyer. His efforts to reform the legal system and champion statehood put him at odds with the Ring's agenda. And that's that war. I can move into the Colfax again.
Talk about the Colfax, because I think that one's pretty important.
Okay, outcome of the Colfax County War, Special Agent Frank W. Angel exposed massive corruption in territorial government under Governor Samuel B. Axtell and Ring Associates. The Ring's The Ring's policy and corrupt... That's when you try to talk fast. That's when my tongue gets old.
Okay.
The Ring's policies and corrupt policies are a major factor in the general lawlessness of high murder rate that plagued the territory. Violence spiraled with gunfights, murders. becoming common. The violence continued for several years with numerous killings, ambushes, and acts of intimidation. This is after the. This is long after Billy the Kid is dead. This is going up to 1912.
Yeah. Yeah, and all that nonsense had to be taken care of before they could become a state, just like with Arizona.
Yeah.
They had to cure whatever was ailing them to become a state, you know, regarding all the violence.
Well, with Arizona, it was Cochise County that was holding them back.
Well, and that's why Wyoming instituted, was the first, one of the first states in the Union to institute women, giving women the right to vote, sure, in state elections.
Yeah.
Because they were trying to get Washington to show how civilized they were.
Yep.
You couldn't still, a woman still couldn't vote in a federal election, but she could vote in any state election in Wyoming.
Yeah.
Well, here's a great irony for you. Pat Garrett was never paid the bounty for killing Billy the Kid by Governor Wallace.
Big surprise. All right. Well, we're going to take our break here. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about the 10% ring in Cochise County, Arizona, and what all that entailed. So that's up next here on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West with Harry Alexander Bunker de France and Todd Roberts. We'll be right back after these messages.
Arizona, the land of cattle, copper, and cowboys. It's also the true West, where a large number of Westerns were filmed. For your next vacation, come out to where Wyatt Earp made a name for himself as a highly respected sheriff. Stay where Jimmy Stewart filmed Winchester 73.
That would be the White Stallion Ranch. Situated in the mountains just northwest of Tucson, the White Stallion Ranch is an award-winning dude ranch with 43 guest rooms and the Hacienda. That's a 5-bedroom, 3-bathroom home, perfect for larger families, family reunions, and girlfriend getaways. Every guest room has a private patio with views of the cactus gardens, mountains, or corrals. Generous floor plans offer sunny, comfortable rooms, but you won't want to stay in your room. Outdoor activities are plentiful at the White Stallion Ranch. Horseback riding, hiking, shooting, archery, rock climbing, e-biking, and a weekly ranch rodeo are among the numerous activities that you'll enjoy on your ranch vacation. Go Western for your next getaway. The White Stallion Ranch. Book your vacation now online at whitestallionranch.com or call 520-297-0252.
This is Eb Wilkinson of Wilkinson Wealth Management, where we manage money for gun owners. When people turn 50, something miraculous happens. They start to get serious about retirement planning. They've done very well so far and want to be certain they power into the retirement they've earned. Let me guide you to retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
Hello, I'm Mr. Red.
No doubt you've heard about rescue groups for dogs and cats, but did you know there's a rescue group for horses? That's right, it's called Horse It Around Rescue. Founders Steve Boyce and Teresa Worrell are helping out all those equine victims of neglect and cruelty by giving them a place to restore their health and wellness. And Horse It Around provides a nurturing and natural environment where horses can be horses, so they can be adopted out into forever homes. More than 120 horses, mules, and donkeys have been adopted out, but like everything else, it costs money to run the project. Horse It Around is a 501c3 nonprofit located in Southeast Arizona. Your tax-deductible donations to Horse It Around will go a long way so those horses can be horses. Check out the website, horseitaroundrescue.org. Make a difference in a horse's life. That's horseitaroundrescue.org.
Besides bringing millions a year into this community with national and international events, the Tucson Trap and Skeet Club at 7800 West Old Ajo Highway services the local shooting sports community with a 380-acre site featuring trap, skeet, five stand, and two sporting clays fields, as well as a 9,000-square-foot clubhouse, which all is available to local shooters, and soon, an archery range. Check it out at TucsonTrapAndSkeet.com or take a drive out west of town and see it for yourself. New members or single-day use, welcome.
You guys ought to have your heads examined, pulling a boner like that. Why didn't you finish him off when you had a chance?
We would have, but how did we know it was the fakest kid?
Yeah, we thought it was on the sheriff's man.
That's right, boss. We didn't want to get popped with the goods, so we beat it.
This is the Voices of the West.
While the Mississippi washes on that sunny southern shore, steamboats come puffing round a bend.
Leon Gobles, man.
Hey, that's some yodel. That's some more of that yodel.
Great stuff from 1930. Happy with the job he's got there.
That's when cowboys yodeled.
Yeah,
then.
For sure.
You know, Roy Rogers is one of the best yodelers of his day.
Yeah.
And also probably one of the best square dance callers.
Perhaps so. All right, on to the 10% ring. This involved Cochise County in Arizona. And Cochise County was formed as they took some, I'm not sure how it all worked out, but Pima County ceded a portion of its land to enable Cochise County to be
established. I think part of,
established.
It, was, part of it was that some of the people in Pima County, that was their attempt to combat the corruption.
Well,
and so they, it was like, and the people in Cochise County, they wanted it because they wanted autonomy.
Well, of course, yeah, for sure, no question about that. But then comes in the criminal element under the banner of Sheriff Johnny Behan. Now, back in those days, the sheriff was supposed not only law enforcement, but he was also a tax collector. And it turns out he was skimming about 10% off.
No, his part of his salary was was the 10%, but
he was skimming,
taking a little more than the 10%.
He was taking an additional 10%,
exactly,
for the gang.
Yeah, and the Clantons.
The Clantons, and of course Milt Joyce.
Yep.
Who happened to be partners with Wyatt Earp.
Is that
and,
a call?
No, they're calling my. I don't know.
What's the number again, Harry?
Which one?
For the call.
To call in the show.
Oh, 520-487-1877 is the phone number. 520.
If you want to get on the show, Todd, just call us.
Yeah. 520 520 and 487 1877. 520-487-1877. No, that's Todd's caller.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's me.
Oh, wait, no, I got a caller here. We got us a caller. How about that nonsense? Look at that. Hi there, you're on Voices of the West. Who we got here?
It's Nola.
Hey, Nola.
Hey. Are you a long-time listener?
First-time listener.
I am a long-time listener.
First-time listener and long-time caller.
Which side are you on?
Go ahead, Nola.
Okay, this is for Todd.
Speak to Todd, for God's sake. Yeah.
Well, you know, I want to point out one thing. It just shows you, because we're talking about corruption, and the base of the corruption in Tombstone was the Democratic and the Republican parties fighting over control of the city and the government.
Exactly.
And it was government.
Nola, did you have anything else that you wanted to throw in there? No, I guess we've lost Nola.
Well, yeah, okay. There's a question for Todd.
Okay, throw it out.
Yes.
It's just in terms of, you know, we talked, and I just want him to explain his fascination with Lee Van Cleef.
Oh.
That's a bit off topic, dear, but okay.
Go for it. Why not?
Sorry.
It's okay. We'll go for it.
Let's be honest. This is Nola's fascination with Lee Van Cleef. When we started dating, I started talking about westerns and stuff, and she said, I like a few dollars more, and I like The Good, Bad, and the Ugly. I said, oh, you're a Clint Eastwood fan? No. But those are Clint Eastwood movies.
Yeah, right.
No. I like Lee Van Cleef. Lee Van Cleef, please. I like a lot of Lee Van Cleef.
Okay, Nola, so, I'm going to interrupt here. Did you like Lee Van Cleef in The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance?
Yes.
Of course,
he's
a Lee Van Cleef fan.
Apparently
he
so.
He can do no wrong.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah. It's the you know, the persona and the the way he carries himself as a villain, you know, as a bad guy.
And he does a very good job of that. No,
Noah, you're going to appreciate this. You know, the movie The Man Who Shot Cat Dancing.
Shoot him anyway.
Thank you, Todd. But the lady who wrote it, when she was writing it, she had a big poster on her icebox of how she pictured the hero. That poster was Lee Van Cleef, not Burt Reynolds.
Wow. Wow. There you go. Wow. We're going to have to find that poster for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nola, thank you for your call. Appreciate it.
Yeah, call again. Anytime.
No problem.
And see, folks, you can call
in. Thank you. Bye-bye. 520. Yeah, there you go. 520-487-1877 is that phone number. And I don't know why it was ringing on my other phone instead of over here. But it did.
Okay.
So we got that out of the way.
I wonder, because my phone was ringing. Let me just look and see.
No,
what
it's not.
No,
well, no one's calling.
Somebody called me, too, during the same time.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, Johnny Behan was perhaps one of the most corrupt law enforcement officers in the Arizona Territory and perhaps the state of Arizona up until the election of the last Pima County sheriff, who shall remain nameless.
He might raid us. I see a squat team outside.
Yeah, right. But anyway, I work with one of the radio stations I used to work for was owned by Behan Broadcasting. And I don't know if these folks were any relation to or ancestors to Johnny. Johnny is buried in the cemetery up on Evergreen, up on Miracle Mile.
Yeah. What? Yeah. I'm trying to remember what.
Well, we're going to talk about this, so I have to delve into it. You know, I always love Wyatt Earp's description of Johnny Behan. And his deputy, Billy Breckenridge.
He
referred to Behan as a tax collector.
Yeah.
And he referred to Billy Breckenridge as, the jailer?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Go to scripture, you know what people think of tax collector.
Behan lost his election next time he was up for it and left law enforcement. He was later appointed the warden for the Yuma County Prison.
Yeah.
I think
talk
he passed.
Talk about corruption there.
yeah, no kidding.
That's one of the topics I looked up was corruption.
Yeah. I believe he died in 1912 and is interred at this cemetery in Tucson. Is it Evergreen, I think?
Yeah.
So while we're on the subject of...
A few flowers, you know, go ahead.
While we're on the subject of corruption and organized crime in the West, and you mentioned prisons, and we're talking about the rings that were everywhere, but we would be remiss in not mentioning the Indian agents.
Oh yeah. God.
So many of them were just
government appointees.
Yep.
Yeah, and how do you think you got the job?
The only one
that we know was kind of fair, pretty fair, was John Klum.
Yes.
I
would venture to say that Kit Carson also.
I will also say Kit Carson was pretty good. I know all of my Navajo friends are going to be, protesting out in front of my house, but and I know they hate him. A lot of them do. But, you know, I grew up with that whole story of how bad he was. And then I read D. Brown, work.
Orders.
Leon Metz, the great historian, D. Brown, another great historian, and Paul Hutton, they all put a different perspective on all that stuff, and I think it's worth considering.
You know, there's three sides to every story.
That's right.
Yours, mine, and the guy that's wrong.
Yeah, thank you.
And the truth.
Yeah.
And as my father used to say when you'd be debating him and you'd, well, I don't think so. I think it's this way. And he'd say, you know, Tato, you know what's really great is you're allowed to be wrong. Thank you so much, and you can stop talking now.
And on that note, we're going to have to say
listen.
He didn't. And we're going to have to say thank you for listening, everybody. Next time we get together here on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West, it is Movie Saturday. We are going to be doing it down at the Empire Ranch, and the reason we're going to be doing it at the Empire Ranch is because they're going to show a movie called Monty Walsh,
yes,
starring Lee Marvin. Have you ever hear of that movie?
I worked on it from day one to day last.
So you heard of that movie?
I heard of that movie.
Todd's dad, Bobby Roberts, produced that movie.
And Todd's going to be down there.
Todd's going to be down there talking about it.
Talk about it.
And he's going to be on the show to talk about it before we watch the movie.
We'll be broadcasting live from down there.
Down there at the Empire Ranch. So.
And thanks to Kimberly very much for helping to facilitate all that.
So that's what's coming up next time here on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West.
78, 79. ADOs, all you corrupt SOBs.
And that includes today's politicians.
Especially.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to Emil Franzi's Voices of the West.